Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Last year, there were some real challenges, you know. And we were able to get those things turned around and fixed. And I talk about the defensive staff and Zach. You know, that was impressive. I feel like these things that you're seeing right now are more fixable. So after, you know, watching it, like, it's still frustrating. And, you know, you put five or six, you know, rookies out there at one time. And this happens or that happens. But a lot of times, like, that happens in defensive football. A lot of times plays get made to overcome that, and it doesn't really affect you. So it's not, nothing's really perfect, but we've been forced to be a little bit perfect.
Let me talk a little bit about the rush defense, all right? I mean, last year they were number one for the whole year. This year, after the Buffalo game, they were 18th, giving up 108 yards a game, and the average per rush was 3.5, all right? Week two, rushing, they were 17th after week two. Cleveland game, 111 yards, so that was good. And average per rush, 4.2 from 3.5. All right, then we go to week three. Rushing defense, 30th, 149 yards a game. Average per rush, 25th, 4.9. So we've gone from 3.5 to 4.9 in 3 weeks.
Right.
And that's still, everybody's healthy, everybody's playing. All right. Then we go to the next game. Rush defense, 27th, 141.3. A little better. Average per rush, down to 4.6. Now, rush defense is 29th, 146.4. And average per rush is 4.7. So it is not even close to last year, the rushing defense. Pass defense, they were 32nd from the get-go. They were 32nd all along. You know, so that was always, always bad. But the sacks, after one game, they had one. This is a team that finished second last year.
Yeah.
All right, after two games, they were 25th with three. After three games, 29th with three. After four games, 31st with four. And then after five games, second to last with six. You know, I mean, so those two categories there weren't even talked about last year because, as you said yesterday, Van Noy was player of the month
in September.
So I hate to disagree with you, Harbs, but it is a lot different. It's a lot worse than last year because there's nothing right now. There's nothing you're good at.
And we've heard that clip five times probably since Monday. He made it sound like that this year's D is more fixable than last year's was. After the bye last year, they had one of the best defenses in the NFL going into the postseason. After they lost to Philly, and by then Dean Pease was kind of firmly entrenched in being the advisor guy. I don't know if this thing's fixable at all. And you could bring Buddy Ryan back from the dead. And I don't think he could turn this thing around.
Yeah, well, last year the biggest problem was, the biggest problem to me last year with the defense, Bob, was just communication. You know, when they got rid of Marcus Williams and put Kyle Hamilton back there and got Simpson off the field, defense started to pick it up. I'm with you. I don't know what they can do. You know, Matabike is not coming back. I mean, Travis Jones got to get his ass going.
Yeah,
that's going one there. Of them. And they got to find a way to. I mean, their pass rush is embarrassing. Embarrassing. You know? And the secondary, well, those young guys, and we'll do the films. That wasn't great either.
Now, the Ravens did make the trade yesterday. If you missed it, I'm sure you've all heard by now because it happened yesterday afternoon. Out to Chargerville.
Yep.
Ravens get Gilmore back in return, or Gilman, rather, the safety and the draft picks exchanged hands. So, guess Gilman will be plug and play. And we'll know later this afternoon whether or not Kyle Hamilton is practicing today, coming back from his groin. But Owe goes out to L.A. where there's familiarity on the coaching staff in the front office. So, I mean, I guess he'll be comfortable. I mean, he was 33rd in pressure rate this season. Yeah. Zero sacks.
Well, the thing with Gilman, Bob, what I was thinking about it is Jesse Minter was on staff here, so their defenses and the calls will probably be, because you said plug and play, and I'm saying, yeah, it'll probably be pretty easy for him to plug and play because it's a lot of the same type stuff.
Speaking of plug and play, news throughout the NFL, outside of Baltimore, been announced here within the last, 10 minutes, Joe Flacco is going to start for the Bengals.
At Green Bay.
He got traded from Cleveland to Cincinnati, so he'll start at Green Bay. We'll get to the schedule here in a second. Just as a reminder, Ravens have already played Cleveland and Joe Flacco week 2. Vinny referenced that game when he came to the rushing attack. Ravens will host Cincinnati Thanksgiving night and then go to the Bengals December 14th.
Oh, so they can see Flacco 3 times?
Oh, man. I don't know. But, you know, he's going to try to put a jolt in that offense. Problem with Jake Browning has been he's turning the ball over a ton. Yeah. But so is Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And he has no running game because Chase Brown really hasn't gotten percolated here. They do have the receivers in Chase and Higgins. We get all that. But you're Zach Taylor, or you just grasping at anything to get this team kind of. Wait, you see the division. Pittsburgh's 3-1, but nobody's really that confident in them. I mean, the odds makers have the Ravens as favorites to win this thing. So if you're Cleveland, you're Cincy, obviously Baltimore, I mean, you're still in it to win it, I guess.
Well, I see Cincy and Baltimore pretty similar right now, Bob. You know, both of them's O-lines are horrible, and that's the biggest problem for them offensively, and that's why, you know, the quarterbacks don't have time to throw. And both teams have good receivers, tight ends, you know, but they can't get anything done because the O-lines are so bad. And that's why with Joe's going to – Green Bay's going to – you know, fantasy people, if you got Green Bay defense, play it. Play it.
Oh, Micah Parsons.
Oh, yeah.
Do your
thing. I mean, I just – yeah, and them coming off a bye, too. I don't – you know, who has more hope? You know, well – Burrow's not coming back for the rest of the season, so they got less hope than the Ravens because at least we get our quarterback back, you know?
Yeah, but how far down the standings are going to be does return?
Yeah, that's – you know, I mean, Bob, if you're Lamar and then you kind of see what happens and stuff with the O-line and how it is, I may ask for $65 million a year.
Schedule for this week.
You know
that, Nolan? Yeah, NFL Week 6. Tomorrow night, Eagles at Giants. Philly coming off their first loss. They're 7.5-point favorites. Rams at Ravens. L.A. minus 7.5. Sunday morning in London. Well, our time, 9:30. Denver is at the Jets. Denver minus 6.5. Cardinals at Colts. Indy minus 6.5. Chargers at Dolphins. Chargers minus 3.5. New England's at New Orleans. Patriots minus 3.5. Browns at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh minus 6.5. Cowboys at Panthers. Dallas minus 3.5. Seattle's at Jacksonville. Jacksonville minus 1.5. Tennessee's at the Raiders. Raiders minus 4.5. Cincy with Flacco now at Green Bay. 14.5 point spread in favor of the Broncos, Packers. 49ers at Tampa. This could be a good game. Tampa minus 2.5. Detroit at Kansas City on Sunday night. And Chiefs still laying points, 2.5, coming off a loss at Jacksonville. Doubleheader on Monday. Bills at Atlanta. Buffalo minus 4.5. Bears at Washington. Washington minus 4.5. Buys this week, Minnesota and Houston. So there you go. That's your slate of games for week 6. Speaking of that, Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. We'll talk about the NFL with him. Stick around for that next. And then Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens defense. Stick around at your own risk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From CBSSports.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome in, as we do every Wednesday, Ryan Wilson. Ryan, first of all, good morning. How are you feeling? Or good afternoon, rather.
I'm good. Well, we'll just assume I'm on the West Coast. I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're just rolling along with a fun day. Sports talk here in Baltimore. Orioles finished last. Terps blew a 20-point lead. Ravens are 1-4. Everything's great. But anyway, Joe Flacco now takes over as the starting quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. And we were just talking before the last break, Ryan, about, with all due respect to your Steelers sitting there at 3-1, nobody seems to be buying them. That's why the Ravens are still the favorites, odds maker wise, to win the division. So if you're the Bengals, what are you trying? You already got a 2-game head start before things kind of went haywire for you with the injuries. But what does Flacco do? I mean, do you try to stem tides and hope the toe gets better for Burrow, or are you just riding and dying with Joe right now?
I think you're riding and dying with Joe until you get a better, more definitive answer on Joe Burrow's future, because I didn't watch that Bengals game closely last weekend, but I went back and watched Jake Browning's interceptions. And Bob, you would have been a better option on some of those throws. Nice. I do not know what was going on going through his mind. And you can see the frustration from T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, and it's just not working. And, you know, Zach Taylor, as much as he is always pretty straight-faced, I don't even think he could acknowledge out loud that they were still had faith in Jake. So this was plan B, and I think the only thing left to figure out is how long until the Steelers trade for Flacco, in which case he'll play for every team in the division.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, I tell you what, on Sunday, first time ever watching, you know, a Ravens game that – I turned it off. I said, you know what, I can't watch this crap anymore because it's so bad. You know, I mean, it was – defensively, you know, I don't know if you watched Penn State Saturday. It was kind of like watching that too. But yeah. I mean, offensively, they can't block anybody. Defensively, you know, it was just, I said, I can't watch it. The football was so bad that I can't believe that I'm watching the Ravens team.
Yeah, and I did watch that Penn State game, and I actually just got finished watching Drew Aller for the second straight week. Yeah. But in terms of the Ravens, I am willing, and you guys, you know, make it known every week, I am a Steelers fan, but I am willing to give John Harbaugh a pass. I don't know where fans and you guys are on that, but sweet mercy alive, I don't know how you can win when you have four guys that are healthy. And a month ago, 6 weeks ago, I was looking at this defense thinking, I don't know where the holes are. The Malachi Starks pick was an absolute grand slam. They got some help in the pass rush in the second round with Mike Green. They've since traded Adafe Owe, who wasn't playing a bunch. Ojabo hasn't been playing a bunch. Tavius Robinson's doing a lot of that. So Matabike's injured. The list goes on and on. I don't know how you bounce back from that, because it's almost like losing an offensive tackle. When you get to offensive tackle 4, well, you're out of luck. You don't. There are no answers to that. And when you lose 8 guys on defense, I don't know how you bounce back from that. So I don't know if it's a John Harbaugh thing or a Zach Orr thing or just a lack of personnel thing. And obviously not having Lamar doesn't help. So it does make for some what feels like preseason football in that it is hard to watch and it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Ryan, I would say this. I think it's a Zach Orr thing, to be totally honest. Okay. Because here's my thing is, you know, you had all those guys for at least the first, what, three or four games? You had everybody other than Madubuike was playing. And they've been garbage ever since. Running and stopping a run and stopping a pad. Ryan, over the last three games, they've had over 30 missed tackles.
I'm not a statistician, but I don't think that's good.
All right, let's talk about something good. How about the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts in the AFC South?
Yeah, that's a fun story. And I feel good for Trevor Lawrence in that it finally feels like he's got some stability in his professional life. And I think, look, man, Liam Cohen, I'm buying into Liam Cohen.
I
agree. He has a little edge to him. And he had so much success last year with Baker, and that feels like he has translated. He's holding folks responsible. And I will say, though, if Trevor had not gotten up on that last play where he scored, we're having a different conversation. But credit to him for bouncing up and running that ball in because he's tough. He took a lot of big hits. The thing I am curious about, and we'll see where Brian Thomas Jr. is as he continues to try to find his form from a year ago, but this defense, I think they're plus 14 in the turnover differential. I could be wrong, but it's crazy. And Devin Lloyd is playing out of his mind. So if that comes back to normal, can the offense pick up the slack? But otherwise, it's a fun story. And Daniel Jones, I think it's what Shane Steichen was looking for. Just a point guard to be able to handle things.
You all right?
Choked up talking about Daniel Jones.
Yeah, thought it was the Ravens defense that got you all brutalized there.
Ryan, how much longer are we going to see Mike McDaniel?
Oh, boy. Who was the name that was floated? Oh,
Rex Ryan. Oh, yeah. Right. They want a tough guy now.
They want to bring some discipline was the word that Stephen Ross reportedly used or that's coming from the building.
They want somebody like Dan Campbell.
Yeah, exactly. Rex Ryan is a lot of things. I would never mistake him for Dan Campbell, but that's a conversation for another time. Look, man, when you go back and watch the game they played against the Panthers, and I went back and watched Bryce's throws just out of curiosity, and he looked really good. But the number – you talk about missed tackles. That looked like a team that did not want to be out there, and I'm talking about by the middle of the first quarter defensively. Now, you can say all you want about losing Tyreek Hill and whatever and whatever. Every team is injured at this point, and Ravens fans aren't going to give you any sympathy in terms of that. But it just feels like one of those situations. I think Mike McDaniel is probably a really good coach, and he's shown flashes of that in the first few years. Sometimes you've got to change things up, and you don't want to see people lose their jobs. But I don't know what the answer is because it's been – you talk about football that's been hard to watch. That football has been hard to watch. I mean, go back to week one where they got absolutely steamrolled by the Daniel Jones All-Stars in Indianapolis.
I would want a guy like Mike Vrabel. I like how they're playing hard and competing and everything, and they're getting better.
Absolutely. And I think it goes beyond Drake May, who's doing a fantastic job. But I think you're onto something, Benny, because, you know, these owners fall in love with shiny objects, whether it's the Ben Johnsons, the Mike McDaniels of the world. And I think sometimes you do need a Dan Campbell or a Mike Vrabel or even a Mike Tomlin type. She's going to come in and set the tone, hire good coordinators, and let them do the rest. At the end of the day, we're talking about football. We're not splitting the atom, and I think we overcomplicate it sometimes. And I think guys that sort of get back to just doing your job, and that isn't, you can't even say that anymore given the way that UNC and Bill Belichick are going, but doing the things you're supposed to be doing can go a long way in just winning football games.
All right, Ryan, a very important question next. Now, first, you can kind of give us a rundown on the quarterbacks, but if the Ravens continue as is, what's it look like for offensive tackles and pass rushers in the draft?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so, you know, Utah has two offensive tackles, both right tackle and left tackle, and get drafted probably in the first round. So that's an option if, you know, Ryan Stanley can't stay healthy or whatever you want to do there. Caden Proctor out of Alabama is enormous. He probably needs to lose some weight and keep it off. He has not been as consistent at the top. Edge rushers, Reuben Bain Jr. out of Miami is having the type of season where he could be the first overall pick of a team's up there that doesn't need a quarterback. The Titans, for example, don't trade out. That's how good he's been. Keldrick Falk out of Auburn's been really good. He's a long, explosive player who's still pretty young. So there'll be three or four or five guys, probably offensive line and defensive edge rush, that could be possibilities there. give him some defensive linemen if you want to go inside. I will see how they're picking. It could be inside the top 15, which would be a crazy thing to say out loud, even as recently as August.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, joins us every Wednesday. Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan. Vinny alluded to the draft of 26 and Mendoza moving up the line, Indiana. But how much is Arch Manning's reputation taking a hit here, as his Longhorns are probably the most disappointing team in the country right now?
I don't even think this is crazy to say out loud. I wouldn't draft him. I would not draft him. He needs to go back to school. I don't think he's coming out now. But the way he's playing, if his name was, Bob Serrato, he would be undrafted. That would be the grade on him. If you were just going based on what you saw with your eyes this year, that's the reality. He has not played a lot of football. He looks tight in the pocket, frenetic, whatever words you want to use. He should hopefully go back to school, and that will be that for him. You'll love this. My last mock draft came out Monday. No Arch, no Drew Allard, no Kay Klubnik, no Garrett Nussmeier in the first round. I had five first-round quarterbacks.
Wow.
None with those names. Fernando is playing well. Dante Moore at Oregon, I don't know if you guys watched Penn game from 2 weeks ago. He's making some noise, and teams are talking about him. Ty Simpson at Alabama is playing out of his mind right now. So he's a fun guy to watch. And then John Mateer's injured. He might try to come back for this Texas game. The Oklahoma quarterback has been a fun spark plug for that Sooners team over the first few weeks of the season before he got hurt.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Always great to talk to you. Hope you feel better. And good luck to your Steelers. And we'll be talking to you next Wednesday for sure.
Thank you, guys.
All right. I saw criticisms of Arch that his competition level in high school wasn't exactly elite of the elite. Putting up all these crazy numbers here.
The thing about it is where he went to high school, there's been a lot of really good players come out of there.
Yeah, so maybe just nitpicking right now. When we come back, there's no nitpicking here. It's going to get real. It's the Ravens defensive film study. Just point this out. C.J. Stroud won player of the week. The Ravens have played five games. Three of the five quarterbacks have won player of the week offensively. Woo! And you could make a case for David Montgomery, probably could have got it in the NFC, but Caleb Williams threw four TDs for the Bears. So let's see. Bet money on Matt Stafford for NFC defensive player.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know
the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Week.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup. Enter Vinny's film room.
All right, time to break the Ravens defense down on film. Before we do that, Gianna Hahn tweeting this out from the Baltimore Banner. Kyle Hamilton, Ronnie Stanley back in practice today.
That's huge. I just saw a little clip of Stanley at practice, and because last Friday he couldn't even put weight on his ankle, so there was no way he could play, but he looks pretty good there, so that's a big help because like I said earlier in the film, Nope Boom was awful. Now when we look at the D, and Kyle Hamilton was back, which will help him, and it's going to be interesting to see, because I think Kyle Hamilton is going to be lined up close to the line of scrimmage, and he's going to be like a third linebacker playing the run and the pass, Bob, and blitzing. That's where I think they're going to try to get some of that from. But when we look at where do we want to start? Let's look at the defensive line. Jenkins does a good job stacking at the point, but he plays in a really small area, and he's got to keep his shoulder square. But, he's one that can get off of blocks and can penetrate a little bit. You know, Travis Jones, I mean, he just kind of turns his body, goes down, and it's like he's trying to take two, but he's not doing anything. You know, there's no punch, there's no explosiveness, and he just kind of caving down. Urban's a good rotational guy. I mean, the more if he has to play a lot, then it becomes a hindrance to you, you know, and it hurts you. Peoples doesn't get the, Bob, I said it earlier in the week, I thought Peoples it was advantageous to play Peoples because the centers and the guards were not quick, and a quick guy caused them a lot of problems. Simmons from Tennessee last week wore them out. So I didn't quite understand that one. And none of those inside guys at all got any pass rush. And Okoya, 91, he's just a big body. He just stands up, you know, and he'll run into the ball every now and then. But he's raw. And then the pass rushers are just awful. You know, I mean, none of them even get close. You know, they don't really try a lot of stunt. Mike Green, you know, I mean, he stacked a little bit in there against the run. I didn't see any really quality rushes from him where, you know, if you just watch, you say, you know, because I've said it in the past, Mike Green showed some flashes. I didn't see a flash rushing the passer by anybody, really. You know, I mean, you know, they get a nice blitz and Keon Martin jumps off sides. It was a little big for him Sunday. You know, he had two penalties, got beat a couple times. And, you know, playing a nickel spot, the thing about playing a nickel spot, got to be able to tackle, you know, and he's 170 maybe. So him coming up, you know, in a hole, like Marlon Humphrey could come up and make a play in the back. It's kind of hard for him. So, that was tough. Lowry made a nice tackle like on the second play of the game when he was up around the line of scrimmage. Otherwise, thought he struggled. I thought he was late on a lot of stuff. And I thought Keon Martin was late on a lot of stuff, too, just recognizing things. They didn't do it. TJ Tampa was playing so far off, they could get a 5-8 yard play anytime they wanted. I mean, maybe it's because they were afraid that they were going to run by him, but I mean, the play to Nico Collins, I mean, the third down, just pick. What do you need? 5, 6, 8? Right. You got it. You know, I mean, come on, TJ. You know, he's not a burner, but the thing that he was real good, and he's real good at, Bob, is jamming at the line of scrimmage. Be aggressive. You know, if you're going to go down, if you're giving up 44, let's be aggressive and let's make some great plays, not the easy play. Thought they attacked the middle of the field pretty, you know, because of Simpson and Buchanan. They attacked the hell out of the middle of the field, and those guys both struggled there in the pass stuff and recognition and stuff. Thought Simpson at times did a decent job in the run where he kind of fit in there and found a ball and, you know, made a couple plays here and there. And Buchanan thought, you know, Buchanan had a ton of tackles, a lot of them down the field. That dude plays hard. But I'll bet you, Bob, there was 3 or 4 plays where his short arms came into play. You know, whereas if his arms were a little longer, he makes the play. He tips the ball. You know, those kind of things. But he's a good football player. He's just limited, you know. But he plays hard all the time and he competes, you know. And he dove at Stroud on the one, you know, and his arms were too short to get him. Wiggins, he was playing soft. I mean, Bob, they were just like dropping back, and all the linebackers were real deep. They were anything underneath, they gave them. They gave them, and you're missing you're not tackling well. So why do that? You know. So Starks had some tackles. Starks was up at the line of scrimmage quite a bit. You know, and they'd get cut up into stacks and stuff, you know. So maybe that's why Harbs thinks that they can fix it if, you know, they replace Lowry and they place Keon Martin. And, you know, maybe Bob, they're playing 3 safeties instead of playing Keon Martin and Lowry. Those two guys are out, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see what it is. But the defense right now is awful. I mean, it's awful. I mean, it's not, that wasn't even watchable, that stuff, because of missed tackles, missed alignments. Guys get hooked all the, you know, they're getting outside and, you know, they don't stay in their pass rush lanes. I mean, just fundamentally, Bob, it's, you, if you're in a, you know, if you're a coach, you want to throw up just because fundamentally it's so bad. And they probably had 20 mental errors at least. So they deserve to lose by that much because, I don't know, they're not doing a lot of things right on defense.
And this, look, they rock bottomed against Houston, I guess. Yes. But even with their complement of players, it's a weekly thing where you're doing the film study and missed assignments.
Missed tackles.
Mental errors. It just, it's like every week. Lack of pass rush.
It's every week.
Ongoing theme. So Rams are coming in with that high-powered offense. As we said, opening of the segment, Hamilton and Ronnie are back. No Roquan, no Awuzie, no Lamar, no Ricard, no Marlon today.
See, I'd say all the guys that didn't practice today, Bob, won't play Sunday.
So Travis Jones, he's not on here. So, hey, rise to the occasion.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, I don't know if he gains weight during the season, Bob, because he looked much more svelte, you know, in training camp and stuff, and quicker and more explosive, and now it's not, you know. So it looks like we're Simpson and Buchanan again will be the guys. We'll have new safeties. Pass rushers, adios, Owe, but otherwise everybody else is the same, you know. So what's going to change a lot?
We'll find out in a couple of days. We come back, go to the Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. Inside Access will take over at 2 o'clock. Don't forget, 4 baseball games today. Some teams, 4 of them, trying to stay alive. And the first one's coming up at 3:08 as Detroit trying to stay alive at home against Seattle. C.J. Stroud was named as the AFC Offensive Player of the Week, the third player to win that award after playing the Ravens.
I wonder if that's...
There's only been 5 games so far, by the way.
Right, and didn't go to defensive side of the ball. Didn't Ed Oliver win for week 1?
Yes, he did.
So there you count him, too.
Hey, the Ravens are the get-right team of 2025, far from what we expected. Nolan, any closing thoughts for the people before we hit the Inside Access show?
Well, you mentioned it a little bit ago, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm burying the Yankees. They're done. Last night was their last hurrah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you give them credit. They fought back, but, sure. I mean... Oh. Even after being down 6-1, I mean, this Toronto lineup, they won't quit. They're on fire right now. There's no doubt in my mind that Toronto puts up at least 6 or 7 tonight. It's just a matter of can the Yankees match them, and I think tonight the answer is no.
Yeah, Toronto going with the opener and Varland, but Schlittler coming up. That performance against Boston, you know, helped them get to where they are. But yes, New York's still up against it, and you can't count on Aaron Judge to have 4 ribbies and hit 5,000-foot home runs every game. So we'll see. And if Toronto advances, where's Bo Bichette fit into the ALCS here, too? Let's keep that in mind.
Well, at the very least, he can DH. I mean, they've really figured out their infield without him.
Yeah.
With what? You know, Clement, Barger's playing a little infield, too. So I don't think they're really desperate for anybody there.
And I was glad to see Taters get that big hit, even though, you know, they didn't win the game, but he contributed to the cause. And the Tigers, Casey Mize, trying to keep their season alive against Miller. That's coming up in a little more than an hour. Phillies and Dodgers, that's at 9:08. And the Brewers, are they breaking out the Swiffer against the Cubs? Jameson Taillon trying to keep the Cubbies alive out there at Wrigley Field. What fun.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with this text here that says, I don't want to believe that the Ravens players have given up already, but something is clearly going on in the locker room. Just look at the performance of both the O-line and the pass rush unit. I could maybe wrap my mind around both of them regressing a little bit, but certainly not this bad. I don't know how this got so out of hand so fast.
I think if they could answer that question, they would like to, because then they could fix it. But it is the offensive line. And you know what's crazy is this, what, 3 weeks ago, every old lineman got a winning grade? You know, I mean, now I mean, they're pathetic right now, and they don't play as a unit. That's the biggest problem. They don't play as a unit. They play as individuals in the offensive line. And the defense, they just got to get tougher.
Those were self-grades, by the way. That wasn't like PFF said they did well.
I'll give myself a B.
That was George Warhol grading himself.
Yeah, I got
it. But even then, it still doesn't make sense because it's the same group. It's the same five guys as last year.
Other than Voorhees.
Right. Well, he did start week one, but still. Yeah. I mean, all right, one difference.
Right. And you had a 2,000-yard – you rushed for 3,000 yards last year. And now they can't pee a drop.
This texter here says, once the Ravens season is officially over in the next few weeks, then the focus can shift to the future. And I've got my eyes on Teddy Buchanan and him carrying the green dot responsibilities. I think it could be good for him in the long run. Ravens haven't been able to draft or develop an inside linebacker in forever. Maybe he can finally change that trend.
Well, I mean, Roquan wears the green dot, and he's only 26 years old, so I got no problem with Roquan wearing it. I don't ever think Buchanan's going to be a great linebacker. I think he'll be good, and I think he'll be serviceable, but I don't ever think he'll be great.
Yeah, even before Simpson, well, Queen finally developed into something. But outside of that, I mean, they had these issues going back to 2019, 2020, when Queen was a rookie, wasn't particularly great. So outside of Roquan, it's been really bad for a while.
And they had to go get him.
Mm-hmm. Right. Last text here comes from Eric in Bel Air. Says Harbaugh has been gifted with two solid franchise quarterbacks in his tenure. Take it a step further with Lamar. We're talking potential Hall of Fame worthy quarterback and a lot of talent around them every season of his 18 years here. Ozzie and DaCosta supplying a toolbox that should compete and contend every year. Harbaugh routinely underachieving. He was one potential PI call from blowing a 22-point Super Bowl lead as well. We have to acknowledge that. I'm done. I'm moving on. He's wasted too much potential here.
Right now, I mean, last year, you had to give him credit last year because, I mean, the defense started out so bad, but they got better and better and better, which shows good coaching. And the offense was great the whole year. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong. They didn't underachieve till they got to the playoffs. But, I mean, throughout the year, they did good. Right now, as a whole, to me, the whole team is underachieving right now because we talked about it earlier. There's nobody that's playing better than they played last year.
If anything, most are regressive.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
We'll be hearing from Harbaugh when we get back tomorrow at 10 o'clock for Total Request Thursday. Inside Access coming up next. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.